Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And have we been having some good times all this week in the healing power of God? Father, thank you for manifesting yourself all over this broadcast, all over this radio and television audience, and we praise you for it, and we give you honor and praise for what you're about to do here today, and we receive it. We take it. Everything you are, Jesus, we take it, and we believe it, and we praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Join me today in welcoming Richard Roberts to this broadcast.
Glad to be with you today.
Amen.
What a week.
Yeah, what a week, man.
And the best is yet to come.
Best is yet to come.
In Jesus' name.
I want to go on record about saying something today. I've known you a long time. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of stuff, a lot of ups and a lot of downs and things over the years. And I just want the whole world to know how much I love you and your family.
Thank you.
And how real you are. And it just, well, I just want people to know how much.
Well,
I love
may I say something to you?
Yes, sir.
You loved me before I even knew you.
Yeah, I did.
You came to my father's office and said, "Richard is not running from you. He's running from God, and he's coming home, and God's going to use him." You spoke into my life when I didn't even know you. And every word you prophesied that day in my father's office came to pass. And I owe you a debt of gratitude and thanks for what you have done and what you have meant to me and to our family. My father had a great love for you.
Yeah.
I can remember the times when you'd come into our home, you and Gloria and you and my dad and I and others, we'd sit there and talk and pray and dream and just plan on what God was going to do.
Amen.
In the future. And I'm honored. I thank you that you would invite me and have me here this week. It's a blessing to me, a blessing to Lindsay. She sends her sweet love to you as do my daughters. We love you and we appreciate
Amen.
You.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just wanted you to know.
Well, unsolicited.
Yes, sir. I just wanted
everybody
to know.
It felt good to say it because I
mean
it from my heart.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. And, you know, before we do that, now, we're talking about family, and you and I had already talked about this earlier. I would like for you to go ahead and relate the experience you had the day your dad went home to be with the Lord.
Okay.
And it has to do with everything that we're talking about on these broadcasts.
Yes,
and it's part of your heritage.
Yes,
in the healing ministry. And one of the reasons it's so precious to me is because my heritage in the healing ministry is through your dad as my spiritual father.
Yes.
And anyway.
Well, all through my adult life, I wanted a double portion of the Spirit that rested upon my dad. And I would say to him, "Dad, I want a double portion of your Spirit." And he would say to me, "Well, son, if you see me when I go," which is what Elijah said to Elisha. But I knew what he meant. He meant, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can have it.
Yeah.
And so I stuck close. I stood by his side for more than 40 years. And when the day came, and I was in the room when he passed, and I saw all the monitors and all the machines, I saw the numbers going down and down and down, and I knew that it would be only a matter of seconds before he left this earth to take his last breath and his first breath in heaven. That day, I experienced something like I never experienced in my life. I had never seen an angel before. I had talked to people who had. I talked to people who had visions of angels and had visitations from angels, and mm-hmm. people who got angels appeared before them and spoke to them and gave them directions from God, but I'd never seen one. I was aware that there were angels around me, but I'd never seen them. I'd felt their presence, but I'd never seen one with my eyes. And just before he went home to be with the Lord, there were two angels that came through the ceiling. One was so tall that his head was above the ceiling and I couldn't see it. The other, his head just touched the ceiling. They were massive. And I blinked to see if I was hallucinating, but I saw them. And I saw the shorter one reach down into my dad's body and take his spirit and begin to lift it up. And as it went up, I stood up and I started to yell. I did what Elisha did when he saw Elijah go. I mean, oh God, there goes the army, there goes the Air Force, there goes the Marines, there it goes. And just as it got to the ceiling, a mantle came out of his spirit and it started to float down in the room. And once again, I blinked my eyes to see if I was seeing what I thought I was seeing. And I remembered the story. I remembered what my dream was and my heart had said all through the years. And I knew what was coming down was mine. Because you don't take your anointing with you when you go.
That's right. And it stays in the earth.
That's right. And so you have to take hold of it. And so as it came down, I took hold of it with my hands and said, that's mine. And Kenneth, something hit me. The power of God came into my life, and I've not been the same since that day. There's been an anointing like I've never known for healing. More of the word of knowledge, more of the gifts of healing, more of the gifts of the Spirit in my life, more of an ability to give an impartation, especially into the lives of ministers, which is part of my calling now for the rest of my life, to deposit this in the lives of ministers and make an effect upon them. That's what my father prophesied would happen as I got into my 60s, and it's happening now. So that day transformed my life. And when I got home, my wife said, you're different, you're changed. And I said, yes. And I told the story. And she said, well, that's what you've been praying and believing for and confessing and expecting, and it has happened. And I give praise and I give honor to God.
Praise God.
Now, the anointing is not so people like us can say, look at us, we're anointed. No. The anointing is for service. It's to be a blessing to you.
That is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God.
That's right.
And that when Isaiah prophesied that, he was talking about Jesus. And you go on into the next chapter, and he gives further insight into it. But we're talking about the spiritual force.
Yes.
Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Mm-hmm. To anoint just simply means to pour on, mm-hmm. to rub into, or to smear on. But when it's the anointing of the Spirit being poured on, mm-hmm. it is for the healing of the people. It's for the deliverance of the people.
Mm-hmm. It's divine energy.
It's, yeah.
It comes upon you.
Yes.
It comes in you. It separates you from yourself and fills you up with the power of God so much that when you talk, it's like God talking.
Yeah. That's what it is.
When you act, it's like God acting.
That's what it is.
That's what the anointing is.
Yes, it is.
My father would never leave the hotel room to go to a crusade until he felt the anointing of God come into his hands. And he told me just before he died, he said, you know, son, that anointing always came down my right arm and into my right hand, and I wouldn't go to a service. And of course, I remember times when he wouldn't leave the hotel room. They were coming to get him, and he said, I haven't felt that anointing yet. He said, the thousands of people depending upon my prayers, and I can't go until I feel that anointing. Of course, I remembered all that. I was there when it happened. He said, now, son, when I'm gone, that same anointing is going to come down your left arm and into your left hand. And I said, why your right and my left? He said, because I'm right-handed and you're left-handed.
Oh, come on.
And a few months after he died, I was up in Canada preaching, preparing in my hotel room like he did, when all of a sudden this presence came in my shoulder, and I said, what's that? Then I recognized, oh, I know what that is. And it came down, and it began to shoot out my left hand. That night, there were so many miracles. And it's been happening ever since. And every time I pray, I feel this presence. I feel it. I felt it all week on your program. Every time I stretched out my left hand, I feel like God's energy just shooting out of my hand. And that's not for me. That's for people to take hold of and say,
absolutely.
That's mine. I want to get well.
Absolutely.
So it's happened ever since that night.
Praise God. Amen. Now, this is interesting because the woman with the issue of blood here in the fifth chapter of Mark's gospel, verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had. So now she's not only sick, you see, she's broke.
Mm-hmm.
She is destitute now. Yes. All that she had is gone. and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, it's important to know here. In fact, you mentioned it to me earlier before we had a broadcast. She wasn't just after his street clothes. She's after the tassels on the end of that prayer shawl.
Yeah.
And she
represented the Word of God.
Represented the Word of God. That's what she was after to touch. Now, for she said, now she chose to believe this. Now
that's what you've been talking about all week, saying.
Saying. She made a choice. I am believing this. Yesterday's broadcast, I had this happen to me years and years ago before I knew anything. I wasn't even in the ministry yet. And I was so sick with the flu that afternoon. I had dropped Gloria off at a store there in the shopping center. And I was so sick sitting there in my car, I just didn't feel like I was going to make it home. And I had 1 Peter 2:24 laying there in my Bible. I've been reading it. And I just picked it up. But notice how the Lord led me, because I'd never heard of this. I lifted my Bible up. I said, Jesus, I choose to believe this. And I read it out loud. By your stripes, I was healed. Something happened to me right then. I began to amend at that moment. And by the next morning, all the symptoms were gone. She chose to believe this. Now, notice what happened. She touched his garment. The fountain of her blood was dried up. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the English Bible uses the word virtue, to the Greek dynamis, that's power, anointing. It's that same word. Flowed, he said, virtue, miracle power, had gone out of him, turned in the press behind and said, who touched my clothes? Knowing that anointing came out.
He felt it leaving.
Now, you notice Jesus didn't instigate that, but here's what's so important about that. With Jesus, it is alive all the time, and it still is today. Yeah. Yeah. His anointing is still in the earth, and he is still Jesus, and he is still healing right now.
And she did it while he was on the way to heal somebody else.
That's right.
He was on the way to raise Jairus' daughter.
Yeah.
So people say, well, Jesus is too busy for me. He's off doing something else. It's not an interruption to Jesus.
No, it isn't. Those other people, where Jairus was concerned, they said, don't bother him anymore. Are you kidding?
Yeah, but Jesus didn't say to her, wait a minute, ma'am, I got to go raise this girl from the dead and I'll be back. I'll be back this afternoon. You wait right here. No, he didn't do that.
No.
When he was on his way down the highway and Bartimaeus was yelling at him, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't stop and say, wait a minute, on my way back out of town, I'll come lay hands on you.
No.
He is not interrupted by us interrupting him.
Now, the whole point of that is, it's working for you right now. That anointing is here. It is in this room. You remember what Richard said? And this is so important. The anointing of the prophets, the anointing of Peter, James, and John, the anointing of Jesus, it didn't leave go away. The anointing of Oral Roberts, the anointing of great ministers of the gospel that have gone on to glory. They don't need the healing glory in heaven.
No.
Glory to God,
we need it here.
We need it here. It's here right now, and it's right there with you right now. Somebody's sore tonsils were just healed by the power of God. Amen. Oh, whoa, glory to God. Richard, I'm so gunned up, I can't hardly talk. Oh, take it.
Thank
Come
you,
on,
Father.
Grab it. Glory to God. Yeah, the Lord's talking to you right now, man.
Dude. Well, in the authority of Jesus' name, I come against this satanic attack. I'm captured by this one phrase, she spent all that she had. She was broke.
Yep.
There are a number of you out there right now. You've done everything you know to do. Nothing seems to have worked. You've spent just about everything that you have, and you're either broke or you're near it, and you're wondering, how in this world are you going to get by? I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you are not forgotten. You are beloved of God. And if you, out of the midst of what you're doing, will plant a seed unto the Lord, He will use that seed and multiply it back to you. She really planted a seed herself when she reached out and touched Him because she wasn't supposed to be there.
She wasn't supposed to be there.
She was supposed to stay in her home.
Yes, sir.
She wasn't allowed by the Hebrew law to be out in that condition. She wasn't allowed to walk up behind Him. But she sowed a seed of her faith and her mouth when she said, if I can only touch the border of His garment, or in other words, get a hold of those prayer tassels, I will be healed. She sowed a seed of faith, and she got a harvest when Jesus whirled around and said, someone has touched me, and Jesus heard her say, I'm the one that did it. And He said, woman, go in peace and be whole of your plague. And I'm telling you, when you plant a seed of your prayer, when you plant a seed of your money, when you plant a seed of any type seed that you sow, God takes that seed, He uses it for His glory, and then He multiplies it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And she got a harvest on the seed she sowed when she stretched out her faith and took hold of that prayer shawl. And she got a miracle. And I set my faith with you right now. It may look like everything is over for you. It may look like you're lost and there's no way out. But I'm telling you, He is your way. And in the authority of Jesus' name, I rebuke this
Hallelujah.
Attack of the devil. I curse it Glory. In the name of Jesus. You foul, tormenting sickness, you come out.
Thank you, Lord.
You lost from the financial area where you have sustained a loss. I curse that. I bind that in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. This relationship that has gone south and you don't know how to put it back together, I break that bondage off of you, that something that someone has told you that you don't think you're ever going to be worth anything or ever amount to anything, that's a lie from the pit of
yes,
hell.
Yes, it is.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You were made only a little bit lower than the angel. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are worthwhile. You are important. You're a VIP to God. He knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows what you're going through. And in the authority of Jesus' name, I break that bondage off of you
Glory
in Jesus'
God.
Name. And I
Glory
pray for healing.
God.
And one last
Glory
thing. There's somebody else you've not yet forgiven.
Yep.
And you got to let them go.
That's it.
You got to let them go because Jesus
go.
Said, if you don't forgive, neither will I forgive you. And I know you want forgiveness, so you got to let them go. How do I let them go? Father, in Jesus' name, I take this person, I call their name, I let them go to you.
Yes,
I give
amen.
Them to you. I no longer hold it against them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Whomever you are.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Whomever you hold responsible for your not having any, for you not having any pension anymore, for all of your savings are gone, all of your retirement is gone.
Bad investment.
Yeah, bad investment. Yes, sir. Let them go. Turn it loose. Take that unforgiveness and just hand it to Jesus.
Yes.
And when you hand that to Jesus, take from Him the answer and the healing. Not only your physical body and your mind, that you've got really problems of worry that's gone so deep. You've had some thoughts that you thought you'd never think in your life. On one side, there's people thinking about suicide, and on the other side, people thinking about doing harm to other people. You got to get rid of that. And the way you do it, said, Father, I forgive. I forgive right now, and I receive my deliverance and my wholeness, just like that woman right there, in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now give Him praise.
Hallelujah.
Just begin to praise and worship. Let the joy of the Lord come on you. Just dance all over your room like David danced. Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't want anybody to see me do that. Then that's a sacrifice of praise for you. And the Scripture says we need to be giving forth sacrifices of praise. Get on out there beyond your flesh and just start shouting the word
Hallelujah.
Of God. And just dance and praise God. Jump up out of that wheelchair and dance all over the room. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The blessing of the Lord is in your place. Right now. Praise God. And we're out of time. Oh, my goodness. Richard, this is something. This is really something that's happening. Oh, thank you. Let's just praise Him a little.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
You.
We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Richard and I will be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.